Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. Do you know that it's okay to pray for yourself? In fact, we are commanded to pray for ourselves. You're not being selfish. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 21, "Stay awake at all times praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." There, Jesus is saying, pray for yourself that you won't lose your faith, that you'll stand before me with your faith intact. Now, you know, if all you do is pray for yourself, you got a problem. But today we are going to look at 14 things the Bible tells us to pray for ourselves. You might want to jot these down. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we want to pray that you would deepen our prayer life. Lord, if there are people watching this show that never or rarely pray, we pray that somehow you bring all of us into a deeper prayer life where we're talking to you every day. And tell us now, Lord, how we should pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what should I pray for myself? 14 things. The first 7 come from the Lord's Prayer. Number 1, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The number one thing I pray for myself is that I may hallow God's name. Now, what does that mean? I hear a couple parents listening to their little girl say her prayers. Our Father art in heaven, Hollywood be thy name. Well, if there is any group that needs to hallow God's name, it's Hollywood. But that's not. Hollywood means, Lord, may I treat your name as holy. Don't say, oh my God. There are a couple preachers on TV in the middle of their sermon. They'll say, oh my God, and I'm going, oy, you're taking God's name in vain. And don't say GD it either. We don't have the right to tell God who or what to damn. So the first thing you pray for yourself, today, Lord, may I never take your name in vain. Second thing we pray for ourselves, thy kingdom come. Second thing I pray is that God's kingdom would be in my life. People think thy kingdom come is a prayer for the second coming of Christ at the end of time when he brings in the new world. Well, it is, but there's also a present tense as well. May your kingdom come today in my life. May you be king over me today. Third thing we pray, thy will be done. Third thing I pray for me is that I would do God's will. And you want God's will because that's what will make you happiest. Even if God asks you to die for the sake of Christ, that's going to make you the happiest. I mean, I would rather be in God's will in a mud hut in Africa than outside of God's will in a mansion in Minnesota. So you pray for God's will. Next thing we pray, my daily bread, give us this day our daily bread. So the next thing we pray is for my daily bread. Martin Luther, 500 years ago, wrote these words. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God gives daily bread, even without our prayer, to all wicked men. But we pray in this petition that he would lead us to know it and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Everything that belongs to the support and wants of the body, such as meat, drink, clothing, shoes, house, homestead, field, cattle, money, etc., pious spouse, pious government, etc. So when you pray for daily bread, you're praying for more than just literal bread. Next thing we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The next thing I pray for myself, that I would be forgiven and a forgiver. I have a friend who told me that when she prays the Lord's Prayer and she gets to this part, as we forgive those who trespass against us, she says, I stop. And I think, okay, God, is there somebody I haven't forgiven? And she'll do it right there in prayer in the Lord's Prayer before she moves on. Next, and lead us not into temptation. The next thing I pray for me is that I will not be tempted. Now, that doesn't mean I never will be tempted. In fact, I will be, maybe every day. But here's what Martin Luther says again about this. Lead us not into temptation. What does this mean? God indeed tempts no one, but we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us nor seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice. And though we be assailed by temptation, we may still finally overcome and gain the victory. In other words, lead me not into temptation. Lord, may I not even get tempted today. But if I am, give me the grace to fight. Next petition, and deliver us from evil. Next thing we pray for ourselves is that we would be delivered from evil. There are more demons in this world than we enlightened Westerners think. Remember years ago, we had a professor come into the church I served, and he preached on Islam one Sunday morning about why you don't want to be a Muslim. And so I had heard the first service, so I'm in the back of the church for the second service. There's a young woman of our church crying in the church lobby. And I went up to her, I said, something wrong? Do you want to talk about something? And I know this woman. She's very down to earth, mentally sound. She said, while he was preaching in there, I looked up on the ledge above the pulpit, and I saw this purple figure with a tail sitting like this, mocking him as he preached. And so we prayed, and we went back in, and she said, it's gone. But there are demons. I mean, back 500 years ago, when Martin Luther was on earth, almost everybody believed in demons. And Luther wrote this hymn. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, that's the devil, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word, Jesus, shall fell him. So pray you be delivered from evil. Now, we're half done. Seven things to pray for yourself that come from the Lord's Prayer. That you will hallow God's name, treat it as holy. That his kingdom would be in your life today. That you would do his will today. Daily bread. That you'd be forgiven and a forgiver. That you wouldn't be tempted. And that you'd be delivered from evil. Seven more. Let me quickly take you through those. Next request for yourself comes from John chapter 17. Jesus said, Holy Father, keep them, the disciples, in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. The next thing you pray, that you would be kept one with other Christians. I remember an old pastor telling me that he visited a family, and he was trying to get this older man to come to church. And the old man said, oh, pastor, let me tell you why I don't go to church. And he went off and he came back with a yellow piece of paper. You see this paper, pastor? This is a letter my church sent me years ago saying, if you don't come to church, you can't be a member of our church anymore. Well, if they're going to treat me like that, I'm never going to. I heard that and I thought, oh, brother. Now he's got his eternal excuse not to go to church. It's not going to hold up on Judgment Day. Every Christian is to be one with the church. If you don't have a church, you need to find a good Bible-preaching church and be part of the church that you'd be one with God's people. I got this email. Dear Mr. Brock, I was brought up in a small town in northern Minnesota at a Lutheran church, baptized, confirmed, and married there. As I've gotten older, I have gradually stopped attending services. I still remain spiritual. I consider myself kind and generous. I give money to many organizations. I have many friends. Many of them are gay. All of them are wonderful, loving, generous, and good people. They laugh at me when I tell them I'm a Christian. They say, "You're too kind and accepting. Christians hate us and want to send us straight to hell. Your message, she saw me preach against homosexual behavior. Your message just added to their belief. I just don't understand how anyone can justify being a pastor and encouraging hatred. I don't hate homosexuals. I struggle with same-sex attraction myself, if you've watched the show, but we say no to it. Jesus was about love and kindness. Your message was about hate and intolerance. I'm glad I'm no longer affiliated with the Lutheran Church. But if I was ever to return, I'd certainly join an ELCA Lutheran Church. That's the liberal branch that promotes homosexuality. They seem to get it. I'll pray that you and your church find kindness, etc. Don't let that happen to you. Make sure you're going to a church, and make sure you're going to a biblical church. That's the next thing you pray for yourself. Another thing to pray for yourself. Jesus prays, Father, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. The next thing to pray is that I would be sanctified in God's word. The word sanctify means to be made holy. So let me ask you, do you have a relationship with God's word? Are you fervent? Do you read God's word regularly? Is it a big deal to you? Or do you never read it? Or you just now and then might pick it up. No, pray that you will be regularly in God's word. It'll make you holy. I read of a man who was going blind, and he loved to read the Bible. And when he knew he was going to be, he learned how to read Braille. When he went blind, he used his fingertips to read the Bible. He read the Bible so much, after years, the nerve endings of his fingertips were worn out, and he couldn't read the Bible anymore. And the story goes that he's bending down to kiss the Bible goodbye, and his tongue touches the page. And he learned that he could read Braille with his tongue. And he read the Bible the rest of his life with his tongue. Oh, we need to regularly be reading the Bible to be made holy through God's word. Pray for that. Next thing Jesus says to pray. John 20:21. As the Father has sent me, so disciples, I am sending you. The next thing you pray is that you would be a witness to the world. In the morning, I normally pray, God, let me share you with at least one person today. It doesn't always happen, but I pray it often. Do you witness? Do you talk to people about Jesus? You know, back in the 1990s, there was a woman named Julia Butterfly Hill. She wanted to save a sequoia tree from being cut down. So she went up and lived in the tree for 738 days. That's a little over 2 years to save the tree. And I heard that and I thought, if she's going to go to that extreme to save a tree, shouldn't we be praying every day, Lord, use me to save another human being and bring them to Christ? Next thing to pray. 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul writes, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and for all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet, peaceful life, godly and dignified in every way. Next thing to pray for yourself, pray for those in authority, the government. You might think, well, how's that a prayer for myself? Because if you have good government, you'll feel it. If you have bad government, you'll feel it. Ask the Christians in North Korea, where you can be killed for owning a Bible. We gotta pray for good government. Right before the cameras started rolling, our director, Fred, handed me this awful article from our very liberal Star Tribune newspaper. Star Tribune is very pro-abortion rights. And so our Minnesota Senator, Tina Smith, is trying to get the Comstock law overthrown. It's been around for 150 years, and she's afraid it might be used to limit abortion. Wouldn't that be great? But Star Tribune is all for Tina Smith. And then they printed this awful article by a law professor here in the Twin Cities. They'll be coming for your internet porn next. And she makes the point, yes, we need to get rid of the Comstock Act because it might be used to limit your access to pornography. like that would be a bad thing. She talks about people happily using pornography. And if we don't overthrow the Comstock Act, that might be taken. Listen, she's not a bad. She doesn't deal with couples and children who have been wrecked by pornography, marriages that are being destroyed. I think it'd be wonderful if we restricted abortion. I think it'd be wonderful if we restricted pornography. America is the porn. We're the porn producers for the world. Oh, we need to pray for good government. Next thing we pray for, Philippians 1. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Next thing we pray is for an increase in love. Lord, help me love these people I can't stand. I remember years ago being at a Bible study, and a young woman got up and said, I want to share what's happening in my life. I have an enemy who has troubled me so long, and I can't sleep. I've had anxiety. I started going to a Christian counselor, and the counselor said, Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. So she said, I want you to start regularly praying for the welfare of this person who bothers you. And she said to our Bible study, I've been doing that now. The anger broke. I'm so much healthier now. So pray for the increase of love. Next thing, Luke 21. Stay awake, said Jesus, at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. There's the next thing you pray for, that I will stand. Lord, help me not cave into the world. Help me not just compromise. Help me stand for you. And if people hate it, so be it. But Lord, help me stand and not fall away from you. All right. Let's put it all together. It's fine to pray for yourself. You're commanded to. What should I pray? Here we go. That I would hallow God's name, treat it as holy. That his kingdom would be in my life, that I would do his will, I get my daily bread, I forgive and am forgiven, that I won't be tempted, that I'll be delivered from evil, that I'll be kept one with the church, that I'll be sanctified in God's holy word, that I will witness to others, that I'll have good government that will increase in love, and that I'll stand and never fall away from the Lord. One last thought. Remember also to thank. Don't just ask God for stuff. When he comes through, remember to say thank you, God. I've said this many times, one more time. Every night before I go to bed, my habit now, and you do this too, think back through the day and thank God for five things. I mean, when I've taught confirmation many, many years. In all those years of teaching 13 years old about the Lord, how many students have ever come back and said, thank you, Pastor Tom, for teaching me the Bible? Two. And you know, I'm thinking, don't do that to God. When God comes through to you, for you, remember to say thanks. And so there we go. Make sure you have a prayer life, and it's fine to pray for yourself. Pray for others too, but God bless.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, our first question today. Any suggestion on how I can deepen my prayer life? Sometimes I run out of things to pray.
Okay. Well, one thing this person can do, go to our website, pastorstudy.org, look at the YouTube videos, hit the one that says prayers for yourself, which I just preached, and make sure you write down those 14 things to pray. And that'll give you a lot to pray for. The other thing I would suggest, get what's called a quiet time. You know, for me, it's in the morning. For some people, they do it at night. But I like to have a quiet time in the morning when I spend just me and God reading the Bible, praying. Sometimes I sing a hymn to the Lord, you know. Mm-hmm. But just try to get a good chunk of time in somewhere in your day where it's just you and God and you pray. And I mean, Mona, I can remember how I used to pray when I was growing up. I'd go to bed, Our Father in heaven, I would be the God bless mommy, daddy, everything, Sharon, Mark, and me, and all right, it's not good. And God, now I lay me down to sleep, pray. Boom, that was it. Mm-hmm. But then in my teenage years, I started to talk to God on and off in my head mm-hmm. all day long. Mm-hmm. And I do that. That's what I do. I don't just pray at night or in the morning. I pray if I sin. I don't wait till the night to ask God's forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I do it there so I can move on. So just try to have a running dialogue. But I would encourage a daily quiet time.
Mm-hmm. Pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. All right. I pray for good, godly government leaders, but lately it seems we have bad leaders. Why is God not answering our prayers?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. American politics drives me nuts. Minnesota politics drives me super nuts. And we've got, you know what is very troubling to me, Mona? Now that Roe versus Wade has been overthrown, to see how fiercely pro-abortion some of the states are, like Minnesota, like New York, like California, where they're guaranteeing abortion right up to the day of delivery, that's barbaric. Mm-hmm. And what really troubles me, even now, some of the more conservative states like Kansas and Ohio, they are voting abortion back in mm-hmm. in their state government. I think God is watching this. Mm-hmm. I think America is in trouble. We love our abortions in America, and I think, and I don't see any repentance going. Even former pro-life legislators are wimping out on this. Oh, that we had government that would ban abortion, that would ban pornography. Kids are being destroyed by this stuff. So, yeah, why doesn't God clean up our government? I don't know the answer to that. It does prophesy in the Bible that there, at the end, it'll get awful. So here we are.
You got that right.
Yeah.
You have spoken of your favorite Bible version. What is that again?
Yeah, I get this question. It's the English Standard Version, the ESV Study Bible. And again, why I like it is it's a very careful translation of the Hebrew, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament, so it's very precise, and at the bottom of the page they have good study notes. So that's what I like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here's another letter from a viewer. The Bible says God does not tempt us, but we are tempted when we are led astray by our own lusts. So why does Jesus tell us to pray, lead us not into temptation, when God never does this?
Well, that's kind of like, I mean, this some of the stuff is hard. Does God ever tempt us? Well, James chapter 1, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God does not tempt anyone, and he himself is not tempted. But we are tempted when we're lured and enticed by our own lusts, etc. So, you know, sometimes we pray for God just to be God. God, don't let me be tempted. And he, you know, the devil or our flesh are the ones that tempt us. But God is the one who allows it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't think when you pray, lead us not into temptation, means I'll never get tempted again. Yeah, you will. Mm-hmm. But you're praying to be protected, that you won't fall. Yeah.
Okay. Why do you believe in eternal security? Is it not in the Bible?
people need to know what it is first. Eternal security is the belief that once you're a Christian, you'll be a Christian for the rest of your life and you won't fall away. Mm-hmm. The people that tend to believe in eternal security are what's called the Reformed Church or the Calvinists. Once saved, always saved. Mm-hmm. Lutherans and Catholics and I think a lot of other Christians believe, no, you can truly be saved and lose it. And so, which do you believe? Pardon me. I got to admit, I'm a little fuzzy on this one. There are verses that say no one will take you out of my hand. Paul says, I am sure that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. But there are other verses that warn us about falling away. Mm-hmm. Beware that there be in you a heart causing you to fall away from the living God. So, Mona, I'm going to give you my opinion, but I could be, this is, this, I think it's, sincere Christians disagree on this. So, but I'll tell you what I don't like. I don't like eternal security that goes like this. Well, I prayed and accepted Christ 20 years ago, never even think about him, never go to church. I'm living in sin, but hey, I prayed the prayer. Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. So if I could tweak the Calvinists, I think if they're going to preach that once saved, always saved, I'd preach it like this, and many of them do. That once you're truly saved, God always keeps you in faith.
And if you stumble, you repent and come back. Mm-hmm. But you can't live in impenitent sin and rely on some prayer you paid. You need a living faith in Christ to the end. And if you're truly elect and chosen by God, you will endure to the end. That one I can handle. But living in sin and saying you're still saved because you prayed a prayer, or in the Lutheran terms, because you were baptized as a baby. Mm-hmm. No, Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. There's my wishy-washy answer to that question. And it's just a matter of, I'm not totally sure what to believe on this.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. What is the biblical definition of marriage? If a couple gets married in a false church by a pastor who shouldn't be a pastor, is that a real marriage?
You know, it is. Let's say that you were baptized and you discover that your pastor was cheating on his wife. Do you need to get baptized by somebody else? No. Mm-hmm. And the church has always taught the sacraments, the means of grace, baptism, Lord's, the sacraments are valid even if the minister was not.
Okay.
And so let's say you get married by a justice of the peace. There's no God in your wedding at all. Do you have a real marriage? You do have a real marriage. Because marriage is the union of a man and a woman, before God and government. And if you do it before the government only, it's still a real marriage. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Why do you disagree with the Baptist teaching on baptism and the Lord's Supper?
Yeah. This is a Baptist lady that wrote in. Just real quick. Lutherans believe that God does things in baptism, forgives sins, puts you into the death and resurrection of Christ, Romans chapter 6, washes away sins, fills you with the Spirit. Baptists believe baptism is more a symbolic thing. It's you testifying to your faith, and it's a symbolic thing. For Lutherans, it's a grace thing. It's not something I do for God. It's something God does for me. Mm-hmm. For Baptists, it's more, this is me telling the world I'm going to be saved. So I believe... I'm a Lutheran. I'm route one. There you go.
Okay. Do we have time for a short one?
Okay.
Should a Christian get baptized again if he has committed sins after baptism, even though he has repented and asked God to forgive him?
Yeah, that's a good question. The answer is the Bible says we believe in one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Mm-hmm. So let's say you're baptized and then you really blow it and you sin big time. Should you get baptized a second time? Everybody sins after
exactly.
baptism. If you're going to have to get baptized every time you sin, you're going to have to be baptized every day.
Mm-hmm.
So no, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and it never needs to be repeated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about
Well, we're
time.
Almost done, everybody, but just thanks so much for watching our program. If you want to watch any of our programs anytime for free, just go to pastorstudy.org. We're on the air because of your support. We don't have any churches supporting us. It's all our viewers. So if God nudges you, please pray for us. There'll be an address if you want to help support us. But just find a good Bible-preaching church. Pray for yourself and pray for others, and we'll see you next time.
Psalms 119:89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. See you next week.
Thank you for watching The Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write The Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.